to a chick. So say goodbye to everything you ever knew before, and I'd understand if you were running out the door. And I'll keep you safe, and no harm will ever come to you, I swear. And I'll kill if they even dare.
Hi, Your Highness.
Hi.
Long time no see.
Oh my God. I got out of bed.
What?
Being today? Sober is not all it's cracked up to be, but I'm working on it.
You're doing a very good job.
Well, thank you very
much. Good girl.
That's me.
Patting herself on the back.
Welcome to Michigan Murders and Music, where we discuss murders in our gorgeous state, and we top it off with a little homegrown music. Leaving you with a happy ending and on a good note.
I still like those happy endings.
I can't get enough of them.
Hard. It's a solo job.
Also, for typically. November, it is sunny and freaking beautiful out. I didn't even have to wear a jacket, coat, or whatever you want to call it today.
Thank you for allowing us to seep into your ears.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
We have some new listeners.
Instead of doing new listeners this week, we're going to do the following 1, 2, 3s, okay? I want to thank all of you for, number one.
Messages to Her Highness.
You guys.
That's Mary.
Podcasters, listeners have messaged me during my sobriety time, my new sobriety time, and it's been super, super cool. Thank you all for waiting for me to record.
And thank you for purchasing merchandise.
Dude.
This is fantastic.
We just keep getting merch purchases.
Nice.
It's great. And we thank you guys so much. Also, for those of you who subscribe and pay every month, oh, my Lanta, we couldn't have even stayed abroad if it weren't for you.
Abroad.
We'd have went down like the Edmund
Titanic.
Fitzgerald.
Oh.
State appropriate, also yes. Month appropriate.
I should probably give an explicit content
for
warning
sure.
Before you start shooting your mouth off.
For sure.
If you or your child, or if you find your child, coworker, anyone, studying a live fly under the microscope and using needles to see what happens.
Inserting needles into different orifices.
Yeah, it's not okay.
No.
It's a little creepy.
That's.
I may have seen somebody.
It's
not okay.
It's disturbing, and we do not have insurance for that at all.
That's a certain
insurance
level of crazy.
Insurance does not cover that kind of cray.
We would like to keep our podcast commercial-free and independent, so if you are feeling a little tipsy, check out our website, and there's a tips jar, and there's merchandise.
I'm not even sure if we have a website anymore, you guys.
Oh, God, do we?
I didn't want to pay the money for it.
That's right, we don't.
You can find all of our information on the social medias, any of them, except for X. I'm not on X yet, which I don't know why.
I don't even know what X is.
Formerly known as Twitter.
Oh.
It's kind of like Prince now.
Okay. Yeah.
Do us a favor. The best way is to share us like a rash or a disease with a friend. So, yeah, have your friends listen to us, like us on all the places, do all the things. That'd be great. Thank y'all. Who we featuring this week is a band.
This week we are featuring the Thomas Esparza. Band.
Esparza. We suck.
The Ross to the Riving?
We use eraser markers, and some of it might have gotten erased off of your little eraser board paper. You're such a dick. God, you just flow right back into it, and I'm over here stuttering, not knowing how to podcast anymore. Throw up your hand, Boo.
Yes.
I'm going to throw up the other hand.
Okay, we're doing the UP with the low P.
Why are you pointing way down
time.
In the low P?
I haven't
your
started pointing
fingers
yet.
Your finger's got to start moving upward, sir.
Yeah, so now we're going to a city
Is
called Pictured Rocks.
City?
an area, whatever, way up here. Yeah.
Yeah.
There.
Look at how tickle? I thumbed it, a nice little.
Oh, yeah. You're perfect.
It
there.
Looks like.
Whatever that peninsula is called.
Yeah. The upper peninsula.
The peninsula within the peninsula.
We are going to a highly traveled area. Very famous across the world, believe it or not.
Oh, yeah, like people from worldwide Japan famous. Go there and stuff?
Yeah. Of course they do.
Uh-uh.
You look like you belong under, like, that light is a little much. It's like, where were you on November 8th?
I'm kind of half blind, so
I
need light to be able to read.
Do they still do that to people when they interrogate them?
Yes, of course
they
do. Yeah, with smoking cigarettes and coffee. And
I hope they do.
Trench coats.
Boop. We're talking about Tom Richardson today. We're talking about Tom Richardson today. MDOC number 687060.
Born February 27th, 1962, which makes him 61 years of age as of this year.
Is that right? Did I do the math right?
Yeah.
That's
62. I don't know.
Oh, it's a lot to ask for.
I think so.
After all those natty lights. Tom Richardson grew up in McBain, Michigan.
Interesting statistics about McBain. It's a really small city just east of Cadillac, east and just a little bit south.
It is so small.
What do you have the number?
633 as of 2021. What did you find?
As of 2020, they had 637, so they lost.
They had lost a few.
Four?
Jesus, we have to math again. No mathing. This is a podcast. There's no mathing in podcasting.
So McBain is listed as Michigan's eighth smallest city in Michigan.
What?
By population.
Wow.
Yeah.
There's a lot of small towns in this
state. Yeah, that's
state.
A really small town.
I can't believe that they're that high up.
Tom Richardson met his wife, Juanita. I believe that she also grew up in McBain, and they married in 1983.
The couple would reside in McBain upon getting married, and they started their family. They would have two girls and a little boy.
Tom was employed as a FedEx driver and most likely made a decent amount of money.
I mean, they work hard, but they make good money.
They do pretty well.
They're never
home. Otherwise, they wouldn't do it.
But, possibly, yeah.
His beautiful wife, Juanita, worked as a security officer at their local school district. What?
Where did you even read officer at?
I penciled it in because it said, oh, it says secretary. Jesus. Okay. Number six. And go. His beautiful wife, Juanita, worked as a secretary at their local school district.
Just like your mama did.
My mom did that, yeah.
So we already talked about the population of the town. Eventually, Tom would build the log home of his dreams for his family, and they lived happily ever after. Story's over. Bye. Peace out.
Yep, done. Aren't they happy? Done.
Oh, and he drives a Corvette.
You know, you told me about that after the fact, and that just adds to the douchebag factor that we're going to...
I have childhood trauma from Corvettes and Transams and...
Yeah, and those. We all know people that are that guy.
I say they have small dicks, and they're usually douchebags. But that's just my personal opinion, and we know I'm a dick, so...
So they built this beautiful log home and was said to be stunning, and it definitely came with a heavy debt factor.
Oh, yeah. Every time we drive by someplace, we're like, oh, that place is gorgeous. Damn, you know, they got a heavy mortgage.
Unless they make a whole lot of money, which a lot of people around here do.
Oh, my God. I know. There's so many Richies.
Mm-hmm.
The little family of five attended church.
Juanita was a card-carrying member of the choir, and Tom was head of the youth group.
And no, this is not a story about children. So don't everybody. It's okay. You don't have to worry.
It's just about murder, not.
It's just, right.
You know, anything really disturbing.
It's fine. It's fine. You'll be fine. Friends, co-churchers. Mm-hmm, I said it.
Co-churchers?
Co-churchers. and family said that the family was initially very happy, but they eventually, the couple seemed less passionate.
Tom's.
What? Most couples are kind of that way.
Oh, that gets.
Yeah. Not us, though.
No.
Mm-mm.
Put your things away. I'd just be a whole lot
happier. Would you just stop farting all the time? You stupid fucking. Also, right. Would you and work
you know what?
When we're at work? I work in the same building as you now.
If you would
now.
Just shut your mouth for a minute.
So now I know that you don't even fucking work all day.
Now you're not even
day.
Listening to me.
Go to number 14, you ass hat. Tom's get rid of that nasty ass hat that you have on your head.
Tom's daughter would describe her father as a man of integrity who worked very hard.
I'm just going to start copying and pasting all of this.
You might as well.
Haven't I just said
it's the same thing over and over again?
We've said the same thing 800 podcasts ago, at least half of our podcast. Here we are with the All-American couple. And by June of 2006, the couple had raised their children and they were coming upon their 23 years of marriage. A little bit of baggage upon their backs, no children left at home, and vacation time on their hands.
When Tom and Juanita were young and still very much in love, they had traveled to Pictured Rocks as sort of a honeymoon, and it remained a favorite of their places.
Understandably so. For their 23rd anniversary, Juanita wanted to go back to Pictured Rocks to maybe rekindle some of their love and bring back some memories.
That sounds very romantic to me.
I want to go this summer.
I do too.
So I can not push you off the cliff.
Well, it's going to happen.
Okay.
Pictured Rocks is way up north, way the F up there.
So
just
fucking
as we
far.
Pointed out on her
Did
hand.
You mileage it?
No.
Oh, fuck.
Well, 240 miles, I believe.
I was going to mile it. It's a long way.
It's a four-hour drive.
If traffic is good and you don't leave on a Friday, you get stuck going over the bridge.
It's one of the most northernest parts of
almost
the UP.
The week of June 19, 2006, the two headed north on a Monday, leaving from their home in McBain. They're smart. They left on a Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Much easier to travel north
on
a Monday.
Yep. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to swear.
Oh, goodness. Jesus Christ.
I know. Oh, by the way, our next point here. From McBain to Pictured Rocks is 269 miles. And according to Google Maps, it takes 4 hours to get there.
Hmm. The fourth day into their vacation, Thursday, June 22nd, Juanita and Tom went hiking on one of the many trails at the Rocks.
Pictured Rocks has approximately 100 miles of hiking trails. 42.4 of said miles are literally along the shoreline of Lake Superior.
So just before we started recording, I kind of looked at the visual map.
Yeah.
It's a lot of area.
It's pretty expansive
and
area.
I cannot wait to go up there with little Bianca.
Well, Bianca has to go for sure.
Bianca's going up north with us. Mm-hmm. On top of that, there are insane amount of like numerous unofficial trails that lead off that people like us have made through the years. So the main trails are very well maintained, and then you're going to have like cutoff trails that give you just crazy, insane, stunning views and probably a little more privacy. Those are kind of all the way along
the shoreline.
The shoreline. Yeah.
Neat.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say.
All the trails are well-maintained, are war smooth and not rocky or rooty, and none of them are considered dangerous.
Between 1972 and 2006, approximately 14.7 million people have visited the Rocks.
That's a lot of people.
Do you know how the Rocks were formed?
No.
They were formed by three formations of Precambrian and Paleozoic age sandstone.
God, you are so smart.
Oh, I know. It's a Google. I'm sure the weather was gorgeous that day. I was going to try to look it up, and I didn't. Juanita was standing along the cliffs taking picturesque pictures.
At 10:55 that morning, Juanita asked her husband of 23 years to city on nearby grassy area. So he's taken a city on a grassy area, and she snapped a photo of him.
He's such a dick. So obviously my proofreading skills didn't improve why I was not podcasting. Okay, it says Tom had to pee, but that wasn't the case. He had some digestive gurgles going on, I found out. So he had to poop, and like a good boy, he walked all the way back to the miner's castle.
Your Highness, I would have grabbed a tree.
I know you would have.
Just given it hell right there.
You fucking dumb bitch.
Yes.
And not far enough off trails, might I?
And then we see a sign that says, don't poop on the rocks.
What? We didn't. I don't know what you're talking about.
It was me.
Not us. So the loop. God damn it. The loop from Miner's Castle to all three overlooks. Stop it. It's a half a mile. So I don't know where they were in the walk, but he had to scrunch asshole back to the fucking Miner's Castle.
We've all been there.
Not you.
It's the most horrible thing.
You just scrunch asshole to the nearest tree or rock.
When Tom returned to the area where they were, Juanita was gone.
Oh, she was just gone. Tom ran back to the miner's castle to retrieve help.
He found the park rangers. They were the first people to hear Tom's story.
Well, his first story.
Story.
When he approached the rangers, he said, "My wife is missing and unaccounted for. Please, right. If I go missing..." That's exactly how you have to say it.
Yeah, okay, I'm writing that down.
My wife is missing and unaccounted.
Because you're going to go missing.
You shish.
Miner's Castle does not have a landline, and there's no cell service.
Dude, you're lucky if your cell will even fucking turn on up there, I swear to God.
So
that's
walked,
how bad it is.
They had radios. They radioed for additional help.
They did. Unfortunately, visitors at the castle heard the commotion, and they joined in on the conversation to offer their help. Alfred Dennis, his granddaughter Kaylee, and her boyfriend Joe. What a horrible... They're up at the Pictured Rocks just learning about some shit.
Yeah.
And
tossed
now,
into this.
Now they're heading off to look for Juanita. Oof.
The group headed down the trail to look for the dude's wife, Juanita.
In the court documents, it states that this group sadly found her. She was approximately 10 feet above the shoreline of Lake Superior, strewn upon the rocks.
Soon after, Elder County Deputy Sheriff and paramedic Steve Weber arrived at the scene with his partner Amber Denman.
They, too, helped to secure the scene and would aid in the recovery of Miss Juanita's body.
Once the arduous task of respectfully recovering Miss Juanita from the precarious shoreline, Steve Weber and Amber Denman would transport her to Munising Hospital.
Yeah, that's where she was actually pronounced dead.
I think she was dead before.
I kind of think maybe. Ugh. We often do not think about everyone who's involved in recovering a person in this situation. But
seems pretty traumatic to me.
Before long, the scene contained two EMTs, the sheriff with his sheriff's boat, a tourist boat that turned back when the call went out, the park rangers, the chief park ranger, visitors that were at the park, a local photographer showed up, and then your average people like your looky-loo-hoos,
nice,
who have existed since the dawn of time. True crime is not a new fascination, people. It's just bigger.
It's fascinating.
Yeah.
The scene was cordoned off.
That was not my typo.
To protect any evidence.
During this time, one of the searchers found a sandal stuck a ways down the cliff, and someone actually used a wire hanger to kind of measure how far it was for later data.
You use what you can.
Get your hands out.
Mm-hmm. Many people noted that there were no noticeable areas at all that looked like someone slid on a rock, or anything had given away.
From the start, during the rescue of his wife, Tom showed very little emotion. In what emotion he did show, every single person on the site would testify that it seemed fake.
He also complained about his shoulder pain.
His shoulder pain.
Oh, my, you know, my wife just jumped or fell
Why
off a
they
cliff.
They're looking for his beautiful wife. He's crying about his fucking shoulder.
Yeah.
I want to push him. It's a good thing I wasn't there.
It
Those
is a
are
good
times
thing.
That I've just flipped my switch without even knowing it's coming. And also, take note, he did not ask any questions about the well-being of his wife during the recovery, after the recovery, or at the fucking hospital.
Right.
Why would you not be like, what's the status? What's going
Where
on?
Where is she? Can I see her?
What, is she dead?
At least
even
be with
if
her
she's dead, I want to be with her. Sorry, that sounds bad, but you guys know.
Yeah.
Oh, this guy.
So he kept making offhand comments to different people, you know, like Juanita had an injured foot.
Juanita was depressed because of a student's recent suicide.
Juanita had a huge lump on her breast, and that day it was confirmed, and she was very concerned.
That he had suffered a head injury and had a bad memory.
Juanita was a risk taker with her photos, and she would even grab a tree and lean over the edge of a cliff for a good photo.
And that he himself was extremely afraid of heights. Also, there's one last little stupid factoid I'm going to throw in there.
Yeah.
He wears sunglasses.
Oh.
He wears them at the hospital. He wears them when he's being interviewed, and he tries to wear them at court. And he says it's because of his head injury. He has a light sensitivity. But later on,
his head injury made him a douchebag?
Yeah.
Oh,
and sensitive
okay.
to light. Just UV lights. I don't know about CBD. In the courtroom, the judge, they have no medical record of him being sensitive to light. So he couldn't wear his sunglasses in the courtroom. Okay, so that's what I wanted to add.
He did not show any interest in how she actually died, what injuries she may have sustained. He didn't even ask if she was alive.
This man, Sheriff Blank, would eventually...
Blank. Say his name.
Sheriff Blank.
Is that a naughty word?
You know me, I would have just left it blank. I wouldn't have typed blank. Well,
okay.
I might have... Yeah, I probably would have typed blank, knowing me. Sheriff Blake would eventually be dispatched to Munising Hospital, Memorial Hospital, to aid in the investigation there.
Blank would eventually...
You're a dick.
So this dude named Blank would eventually join Steve Weber and Sean Hughes during their interrogation of Tom.
Meanwhile, Miss Juanita would be transported to a different hospital for her autopsy.
She was lovingly driven there by the same EMTs who were at the scene of the crime. One of the EMTs was even part of the questioning for a while.
When Tom was interviewed by Weber, Hughes, and Blank at the hospital, he told another story.
Oh, this guy's good.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, he crawled to the edge because he... is afraid of heights.
Yeah, he couldn't walk to the edge. He's
saw something white, thought it was Juanita, and then ran back to the miner's castle.
Completely different.
To get help?
Yeah.
And shit?
And shit, yeah. Of course, the interview continues through the evening for hours and hours, and eventually Tom would tell the same officers another story.
What, a third one?
Oh. A third one.
This time when he came back from his bowel movement attack, he saw... his lovely wife, Juanita, standing at the cliff's edge. He says that Juanita made eye contact with him. She turned and jumped off the cliff screaming, "Oh my God."
Okay, she was a card-carrying member of the church choir.
Mm-hmm.
She's not going to use the Lord's name in vain.
Oh.
Well, I'm just saying, Tom has now told three stories. It's understandable that under duress and extreme stress that he might tell slightly different stories.
But not that different.
These are pretty, these are not small discrepancies.
Tom makes a snappy call to his daughter.
Wait, there's no N in that word.
Tom makes a scrappy call to his daughter.
Sappy. Sappy. Sad.
Tom makes a sappy call to his daughter, which could have been viewed both ways depending on what side you're on.
Tom is allowed to go home and the investigative team would have a new case to dig into.
He is eventually questioned by a blank.
Not by...
Or a focus boot. You can do this. All right, I think I got it.
Okay.
Number 73. He is eventually questioned again by blank and gives yet another story. Is this the... No, this is the fourth,
I
right?
I think this is the fourth story. I guess we consider it the fourth story.
Goodness.
This time, when he comes back from Miner's Castle and his poop explosion, oh, yeah. Juanita is bent down near the cliff's edge as if to show him something. And she turned and just bloop.
Oh.
Just fell off into the open sky above Lake Superior. Just.
What is wrong with this guy?
Bloop.
He's. When the investigation team digs into Tom's life, they seem to find that he lives two very different lives and he has a couple of different personalities.
On the one hand, we have the kids' version of their life, which we all know to be completely clouded.
Typically. And then everyone else had a completely different version of Tom and their life.
Yeah. So there was a lot of people that testified regarding Tom's character. Neighbors, friends, families, co-workers, co-churchers.
Co-churchers. Many of the people testified that he was very disregarding to her.
Degrading.
Sometimes mildly degrading, and sometimes he was just a nasty asshole.
He would do this on dates with other couples, and he would do it at family functions. He didn't just leave this for home. He would do it in front of others.
That's mean.
That's disgusting.
It's cruel.
It's rude.
The kids did not see that side of their dad at all. They said their marriage was normal, that their parents didn't fight a lot, and it was a normal, happy marriage.
Well, maybe to them.
It's just normal for
that's
them.
That's how it was.
Because mm-hmm, that's all they know.
It's normal for a guy to talk down to his wife, right?
I don't dare do that. I'll get my ass kicked.
It appears that all three of their kids had their dads back during the trial and after the death of their mom. I'm pretty sure they still do.
Investigators kept digging and dug up right afterwards an affair that Tom had 7 years prior to this incident. Yep.
Mr. Churchy. Had an affair.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, they made up and Juanita forgave him. Sometimes we laugh at the most inappropriate times.
During their investigation, a few people had shared their feelings that Tom said directly to them. Things like, I wish I didn't reconcile with her.
Yeah.
Okay.
Isn't that horrible? They also learned about his ginormous debt that Tom and Juanita were in.
That's a really big one.
And Tom said they had no money problems at all.
Well, they did.
They did.
Then they looked into Tom's FedEx route and started questioning those people.
This is how they discovered Miss Kelly Brophy.
Oh.
Kelly worked at a party store that Tom delivered to on the regular.
Kelly swears up and down that they were just friends, though, and she worked the night shift and needed telephone companionship.
At night.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody needs...
Just needs someone to talk to. Ow!
This part, though, you guys, if you watch the Dateline, I think it's called Mystery at Pictured Rocks, interviewing Kelly, because you gotta, and ask her what the two of them would talk about on the phone. Bible study.
Of course, Bible
she
study.
Answered. Of course, he's an upstanding member of the church community, after all.
Of course.
On those nights, her lonely, lonely nights working, She would call him and they would talk about the Bible.
Mm-hmm. The investigative team pulled up records, phone records, and in the 10 months time, they made 383 calls between the two. And one of those calls was the night before Miss Juanita died.
Yeah. Tom called his buddy, his pal, his old Bible study
Bible girl.
Friend from Pictured Rocks on their honeymoon revival. The two of them conversed. Maybe they even prayed.
They prayed. I know what they did.
For 13 minutes
that
night.
The Bible people, oh my God, that makes me feel, it warms my cockles.
Right in your heart?
Yeah. My cockles.
I thought your cockles were lower than that.
It's warm too.
Upon poking at Kelly more about their conversations, they learned that as close friends that they were, Tom would sometimes tell her personal things about his life.
And he told Kelly that Juanita had cancer and would not be alive by Christmas.
Remember that little lump in the breast thing?
Uh-huh.
He went right to, she's got cancer and is going to be dead by Christmas.
Oh, he was hoping.
Kelly gives them a lot of information about her and Tom, and she states what she expects from a man. She actually tells them that she told Tom this, that what she expects from a man is not to be married. And then in the same conversation, Tom asks her back, well, will you wait for me?
She told him that she would indeed wait for him.
Of course, that's what friends do.
Yes.
I'll wait for you.
Where did this turn from friendship to I'll wait for you?
Yeah, wait,
like
wait
after
for
your
you to
wife
go to
dies?
Church.
Wait
for you to come back for the next FedEx route. What are we waiting for, Thomas?
Wait. Oh God. That now it all makes sense. It's the FedEx route. I'll wait for you. Yeah, next day.
See?
She's waiting.
Of course she is.
Okay. It's all innocent. When they asked Kelly about the 13-minute phone call conversation that they had the night before.
The night before Juanita died.
Yeah. She said that Tom had called and woke her up and needed to talk. So she listened.
Because that's what good friends do, Boot.
Mm.
During court, we would learn from the couple's lawyer, Anthony Badavinic, that days before their trip, Tom was adamant about getting together.
Good job in pronunciating that name.
Thanks. I think it's probably still wrong.
Tom instantly commanded an urgent visit and said,
Got to have a will. So he was very adamant about getting together with his lawyer before going to Pictured Rocks to get this will. And his lawyer was like, bro, everything's fine. Go on your vacation. We'll deal with this when you get back. But no, he had to deal with it before they left. So they did.
It wasn't long before his friends were saying that Tom was asking to get a hookup with some of their single lady friends. He asked numerous friends for a line on the single ladies.
I am throwing up in my mouth a little bit.
His but he's wearing douchebags.
Just died. He hasn't even gone. Oh my God! What a fucking ball of slime nugs. Slime from under the nuggets.
With all of the stories that Tom told, his extramarital affairs, both past and present, his own behavior and other things that he did and ways that he acted all led up to no good. Douchebag suspect.
Suspect. Slam. Finally, on February 6, 2007, Tom is charged with open degree murder of his wife. First degree murder of his wife. And the case finally went to court. I don't even know on what date because I didn't look it up. And we heard from everyone that I stated from before, the EMTs, the sheriffs, the people, the visitors had to go on trial too. So their little weekend vacation turned into having to go to fucking
good
trial.
Good heavens, man, that'd be awful. Karen Barman, the prosecuting attorney, jumped on Tom's changing stories and took note of his debt and saw how much he would receive from his life insurance policy.
Well, the debt was at $237,000.
Yeah, and that would kind of give him a clean slate.
And the life insurance was $250,000.
Perfect.
Boo. You need to up your life insurance.
Yeah, Oh, no.
I'm just saying. The coroner also took the stand and stated that there were two linear bruises on Juanita's thigh, like a double bruise, if you will.
That's like somebody whacked her with a big stick.
It's exactly what he said. He stated that the bruises indicated that the bruises were there before the fall, that something linear caused the bruises, like a stick or a rod. However, under cross-examination, he said it could have been caused from falling too, but it was unlikely because they were, it was pretty even, even marks, I guess.
Tom's character was obviously torn apart during the trial. Defense claimed that Tom's stories differed from trauma due to PTSD from watching his wife fall off a cliff.
Defense also brought up Juanita's bum, previously broken knee.
Her bum.
Making her unsteady and thus causing her fall. They also brought up the fact that she had two previous affairs and was taking antidepressants.
Oh. Defense also jumped on the fact that Juanita was wearing sandals, making her unsteady along the cliffs.
I'm not sure if I already said that the kids were put on the stand, but they were. And they testified to what a stand-up man
their dad was.
And honestly, I think there was around 23 people that were put on the stand.
When the jury finally went into deliberation, one of the main points they focused on was the bruising, those parallel lines of bruises.
The jurors took this literal. They stood each other up and pretended to push each other over to see how they would fall.
Like, did they whack each other with a stick?
Yeah, I hope so.
Me too.
I hope they went to a cliff and pushed each other off too, just to see.
Well,
it's okay. There's a net down there. You'll be fine. Are you afraid of heights? Well, so is she. You think she would have done this? Probably not.
They took it literally. Yeah. After 11 hours of deliberation and talking about all the points, the demonstration of being pushed really seemed to be their deciding factor. She had to have been pushed.
The jury came back with their decision. Guilty of first-degree murder of his wife.
He was sentenced to life without parole.
Tom talked to one of our favorites, Josh Mankiewicz, on the Dateline show, and he sounds like a damn crybaby and still claims his innocence today. You guys should definitely go watch it.
Yes, watch it.
Let us remember this, though, Boo. Nobody has ever fallen off or died at Pictured Wrecks previous to this incident.
You know, he didn't do his research.
I'm thinking maybe back in logging days, there could have been a couple of people that crashed off the edge on accident and on some drinking nights. But also, I had a friend that just went up there with her boyfriend and they posted really cute pictures like hugging each other on the cliff edge.
And nobody died?
Nobody died. He didn't push her off or anything.
He has motive, though.
I don't understand. I was like, don't let him push you off. In my head, I didn't really say that on Facebook because not everybody's into true crime, except for us freaks.
So really, accidents at Pictured Rocks, like nobody dies there, loggers, perhaps.
Yeah, I think we did an earlier episode about weird things that happened up there, but nobody had died.
Nobody's taking the plunge.
No.
You know, Your Highness?
I don't even think anybody's tried to kill themselves from up there, which is kind of surprising.
It is.
Don't go kill yourselves.
Yeah.
It's not what I'm asking.
There's other places, better means than that. Easier. Much easier. You don't have to drive.
Right. It's a long drive. Age-old situation. Sad. Thought he was going to get the insurance money. Didn't.
Nope. Ended up with life in prison,
in jail.
Without parole.
Yeah.
Your Highness?
You guys, this story was covered everywhere. I think there's a million different podcasts that cover this story. I said it was on Dateline. We got our information from both Dateline and mostly the court records. Hey, Boo.
Hey.
Don't get shot.
And don't allow yourself to become a victim of opportunity.
nobody can do. That's why I'm singing this blue. I cannot take my baby right in my automobile. I cannot take my baby right in my automobile. That cost of living, don't let me get a good thrill.
Let's play all together, baby.
Thank you for choosing Michigan Murders and Music. Please rate the show wherever you listen. Michigan Murders and Music is produced by The Boots. Episodes are researched and written by Your Highness. Edited by Your Highness. Views and opinions are the sole stupidity of us and us alone. Don't blame others, please. Listening to this podcast could quite possibly cause major problems to your earballs and definitely will mess up your kids. Permission has been given to us by the bands and we purchase our music on Bandcamp.com. Support your local music scene and all local music scenes.